Before I read the first section of today's scripture, and you can turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 22. We've been now through the last few months going through the book of 2 Samuel, one of the Old Testament historical books. But before I read this first section of chapter 22, I'd like to share something personal, a conversation I had a few months ago with the executive director of our chaplain ministries that eventually led to my decision to semi-retire and accept this part-time position with this other ministry. I believe this conversation relates to this passage of Scripture before us this morning. Since 2017, I've been serving as a volunteer on the Board of Commissioners of our chaplain ministries. And last year, the executive director asked me to consider coming on staff, and I immediately dismissed it. I said, no, there's too many things that I want to accomplish at Crossroads before I retire or move on to anything else. Or I said, too many more things I want to do, something like that. Too many things I want to see happen. Whatever my exact words were, the point was that I was focused on what I wanted to do. It was all about my fulfillment, my contentment, my goals. And as soon as those words left my mouth, no, there's too many things I want to do, too many things I want to accomplish. As soon as those words left my mouth, I thought, ooh, that didn't sound quite right. Has that ever happened to you? You ever say something and you wish, ooh, I wish I could get those words back in my mouth. Maybe not anything particularly devious or sinful. I mean, not mean or untrue or vulgar, but just doesn't sound very spiritual, you know. You know, there's more things I want to do here. So what I should have said, and now I wrote this down so I get this right, what I should have said is something like this. I believe the Lord would have me remain in my current pastoral call and continue to lead Crossroads toward accomplishing our vision. Doesn't that sound a lot better instead of just, well, there's a lot more things I want to do here, a lot more things I want to get done. So I believe the Lord would have me remain in my call and continue to lead Crossroads to achieve our vision, which is on our wall back there, which involves finding a new home base someday, a new permanent home for us, and continuing to train and equip our people to serve the Lord and grow in their faith and making Christ known in our neighborhoods, our nation, and the world. That would have sounded so much better, but that's not what I said. I said something that about accomplishing things, goals, objectives, and so forth. So why did that come out of my mouth? Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 15, verse 18. Jesus said, things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. So that revealed really was in my heart. It's all about me and my goals. So for these past many weeks, we have been learning about King David and his life and all the ups and downs of life of King David. And we know here that King David, in fact, accomplished many things. Even before he was king, he accomplished a lot. I mean, King David, he's the same young David who killed Goliath. Remember, he was a young shepherd boy. And he represented his nation and killed the enemy Philistine giant Goliath. David did that. He accomplished that. And then he was given a military commission, and he had tremendous success as a military officer. He accomplished many, many things. And then after King Saul went crazy, David successfully eluded him many times. He escaped death many times. In chapter 22 here, now records the words to a song. It's like a poem or a psalm, a song that was written by David as he reflected back on these things that he accomplished while he was avoiding King Saul, crazy King Saul. Let me read just the first four verses for now of chapter 22. We see here David looking back. Now, this is written at the end of 2 Samuel, but he's looking back, or the author is telling us what he did a long time before, okay? So chapter 22, let me read just verses 1 through 4. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. So this chapter begins with praise. And in fact, it ends with praise. Go ahead and turn the page and look at the end of the chapter. And we'll see these two bookends. Look at the last stanza beginning in verse 50 of chapter 22. David says at the end of this song, "Therefore I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name." He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. So what had happened? Why was David looking back on this time with Saul and praising the Lord? He's praising God. Why? Well, because we see in verse 1, because he delivered him. He delivered him. The Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Now, there were a lot of things that happened back in, they were recorded back in 1 Samuel. Let me do a quick review of what had happened to David, of what he was singing about, why he was praising God. Back in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, we read that King Saul had become so jealous of David that he tried to kill him. In verse 11 of chapter 18, we see that Saul took a spear in his hand, hurled it at David, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid, verse 12 of chapter 18. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. Then in chapter 19, verse 10, we see that Saul again tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. And that night, David made good his escape. In chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, we see in verse 14 that David, quote, stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. In chapter 24, we see a story where David snuck up behind King Saul and cut off a piece of his robe, thus showing that he could have easily killed King Saul. In chapter 26, quote, Saul went down to the desert with 3,000 select Israelite troops to search there for David. Saul made his camp beside the road on the hill of Hakilah. And then one night when Saul was sleeping during this military campaign as he was searching for David, David snuck in and took Saul's water jug and his spear. Verse 3 of chapter 26, Saul was lying inside the camp with the army encamped around him. David snuck in there, made his way right up to King Saul, took the water jug and the spear, and then went across into a safe distance and called out to his general, "Hey, Abner! Yeah, I've got where's his water jug? Where's his spear?" So David was quite clever, and looking back on this, he responds in praise at all the ways the Lord protected him. So back in chapter 22 now, we see this is a response. This is a response. And as David wrote this song and sang this song, he provides a model for us today. You see, we respond to the Lord in praise for what he has done for us. We respond by declaring who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do. We see many aspects of this in this passage, but I'd like to highlight just three of these. We respond to the Lord in praise because, first of all, he is our rock. He protects us. First of all, and second of all, he is our rescuer. He saves us. And thirdly, he is our righteousness. He purifies us. So first of all, we respond in praise because he is our rock. The same word as found here in 1 Samuel is also found here in 1 Samuel where it is described that David fled from Saul. This word rock is where it describes that David fled from Saul to the rock in the desert. See, David was hiding in the cleft of the rock, a safe place. We also see in this passage, he uses the word fortress. He is my rock. He is my fortress. Have you ever visited an old fort with the immense walls, the big, tall, wide walls? You just feel safe in there. That's how David is describing our Lord, our protector, our rock, our fortress. He also uses the word shield. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. So here we see David just piling up the descriptors to help us understand this aspect of God's character, that he protects us. He's our rock. In verse 3, another word he uses, he said, he is my stronghold. So again, he continues to just pile up the descriptive words, helping us understand that God is our rock, our protector. So David is looking back on the many times the Lord protected him. He's literally singing the Lord's praises, not his own. He's singing the Lord's praises. And you know, David could have told a lot of stories about himself. He could have wrote a song about himself and about all his accomplishments and all the great things he had done. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to talk about yourself. But you know, these stories, especially among soldiers and Marines and other military members, you know, the stories tend to get embellished, you know, and makes it about us more than about the Lord. Imagine what David could have said here. Instead of singing the Lord's praises, he could have said, you know, let me tell you about the time that crazy King Saul tried to kill me with a spear. I dodged it twice. He could have said, remember that time, and we read about this back in 1 Samuel, where Saul was on one side of the mountain, and I was on the other side of the mountain. It was like a cat and mouse game, and I got away from him again. He could have said that. Didn't say that. Or how about the time when he snuck up on Saul and cut off a piece of his robe? Saul was actually relieving himself, is what the Bible says, when he did that. Imagine David, you know, could have said, hey, remember the time I snuck up behind Saul, cut off a piece of his royal robe, and then snuck away, and then later when I confronted him with it, oh, you should have seen the look on his face. Oh, it was awesome. But no, he's not praising himself here. He's praising the Lord. He could have said, remember that night when I low crawled into his camp, took the water jug, took the spear, and then cleverly evaded out of there, and then called out to the general, hey, Abner, yeah, hey, it's me, yeah, where's the water jug? Where's the spear? He didn't do any of that. He gives God all the praise. God is our rock. He is our protector. And notice in verse 4 here, he changes this to the present tense. He's looking back on what he did, but he says in verse 4, I call to the Lord, present tense, I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. So you too must call out to the Lord in praise for all he has done for you, for the way he protects you. He goes on to describe the seriousness of this situation. Look at the next few verses here, verses 5 through 7. He says, the waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, he says, I called out to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. So, we continue now in verses 8 through 16, and he continues to reflect back on either or both, maybe Moses giving the Ten Commandments, or he reflects on the Exodus. These are events that happened way before the life of King David, but he's still recalling the power and awesome nature of God to emphasize this aspect of God's, the reality of God's power. Let me read verses 8 through 16. Just listen to how he describes what had happened many years prior. He said, the earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose up from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundation of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath from his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. So, this is our great God, our rock. Call out to him in praise. So secondly, we respond to the Lord in praise because he is our rescuer. He saves us. Look what he said here. I just read in verse 17. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. He continues, they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Notice the words he uses in verse 17. He reached down. He took hold of me. He rescued me. He brought me out. He rescued me. He says it again. Other translation says he pulled me out. We get the idea. We get the idea. David is writing. David is singing in powerful metaphor. He's describing his desperation as if he was drowning. He wasn't actually ever in the water. He was in the desert as he was escaping from King Saul. But he's using powerful metaphorical language to describe the amazing rescue that the Lord did with him. Notice in verse 6, the cords of the grave, he says, the cords of the grave coiled around me. Many of you know that in my previous life, I was a helicopter pilot. And part of my training was I had to go through what we call the Hilo Dunker. The Hilo Dunker down in Pensacola, Florida, where you sit in this shell of a, well, it's like a fuselage of a helicopter, and you have to put your seatbelt on, and the thing drops into the water, flips over, and by the way, you're blindfolded. So you got to get out of there. But there are Navy divers down there just in case. So you know you're not going to drown. Don't tell anybody, but I got a little push once, you know. I had to, no, don't go this way, go that way. And I didn't know where I was. But so the point is, David is describing this distressful situation. It was like he was drowning. He couldn't escape. But the Lord rescued him. You see, every one of us is entangled in sin and needs to be rescued. We need to be pulled out of the waters. God does that for us. He rescued David, and he rescues us. And for that, we praise him. We respond in praise. Now, you must be thinking, wait a second. You know, God created us, and he knows we're not perfect. So now it seems that he's doing this super dramatic thing by rescuing us. I mean, why can't he just sort of cancel the whole thing out? I mean, can't he do that? Why would he create us and then have to rescue us? Why does he want to do that? Well, God gives us a free will. He gives us the ability to make choices. And we make bad choices. We violate his commandments, and therefore we must be saved. Therefore, there must be a payment for our sin. But God provides the payment. You see, God is perfectly loving and merciful. By his very nature, he wants to forgive us. But by nature, he's also perfectly just and righteous, and therefore there must be a payment for our sin. And he provides the payment through his son, Jesus. He rescues us through faith in Christ. Notice verse 20. He rescued me, David said. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God actually delights in you if you're living by faith in Christ? Do you believe that? How could he delight in you? He doesn't say, the Lord does not just say, okay, I forgive you, now don't do it again. No, he says, no, I delight in you. That's what he says. So we respond in praise. He is our rock. He protects us. He's our rescuer. He saves us. And we also respond in praise because he is our righteousness. He purifies us. Let's read on now, verses 21 through 25. David continues in song, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Now, wait a second. We know the rest of the story, right? We know all of David's sin. It was recorded after he escaped from Saul. We know about Bathsheba. We know about the adultery. We know about all those dysfunctional family issues that were going on. But as I've said many times over these past few weeks, David is still God's chosen king, and he was still forgiven. And just like you and me, who have committed many, many sins against the Lord, we cannot stand before him and say this, that we're righteous in our own efforts. But no, God can declare us righteous because he is in a relationship with us by grace. Now, David did not know Jesus of Nazareth, of course. David lived 1,000 years before Jesus. But he knew there was a coming Messiah, and he knew that God the Father would forgive him, and in fact did forgive him by grace, unmerited favor. So we do not stand before God in our own righteousness, but in fact, he does make us clean. He does make us righteous. And our works are pleasing to him because of our relationship with Christ, by grace, through faith in him. We know about all of David's misgivings, but you know, of course, he wrote this before all of that with Bathsheba and the rest of it, but he could have wrote it afterwards. He could have wrote it later because he was still declared righteous by grace through faith in God. So, the Lord says, I delight in you. You are righteous in my sight because of faith in my son, Jesus. Think of the worst thing you've ever done. Or maybe not. Maybe that's too depressing. Think of some other things that you've done. These things are all paid for. You're forgiven. You're completely forgiven. God delights in you if you're trusting in Christ for your salvation. Praise him for that. Praise him. In verses 26 to the rest of the end of this song, David continues in praise. Let me read the rest of it. Verse 26, he says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. As for my God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them in the mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They lose all heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. You see how he's giving all the credit to God. He's praising the Lord. He's responding to the Lord for all that he did for him. And so we respond in praise. Theologian John Frame says, worship is responding to our covenant God. We respond in praise because he is our rock, he is our rescuer, and he is our righteousness. And then the final stanza, I read it earlier, verse 50 and 51. Therefore I praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. To David and his descendants forever. You see, we are the spiritual descendants of David. We're in the same family line as David by faith. We're part of that covenant relationship, just like Brooklyn is part of the covenant family. So we celebrate that as we worship our rock because we respond, because he is our rock, our rescuer, and our righteousness. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that we are far from perfect, but we are so grateful that we are part of your covenant family. We are part of the household of David by faith. So help us, Lord, to continue to respond to you in worship, in praise. You are our rock, our rescuer, and our righteousness. And we pray in your son's holy name. Amen. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, If you're trying to earn your salvation, if you're trying to stand before God in your own righteousness, I would urge you to set that aside and claim Christ as your Savior today. Just reach out and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. I know that Jesus died for me. He rose again from the grave. And I want to be with you forever by faith in Him.